Yo, 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 what's up, Bethel? Yeah, ain't it good to come to the house of the Lord? Hey, can I just testify to y'all just a minute today? Okay, yeah, sure, Cody, you sure can. Yeah, please, share with us, Cody. I love church. I love coming to church. It's just something about gathering in the name of the Lord, and it's just something about gathering with your brothers and sisters in Christ that just brings a little bit of joy to you. Like, I'm gonna tell you, here's where I'm gonna testify. Like, I've just kind of been in a sucky season. Anybody ever been there? Like, you know, I'm just telling you, like, here's what, so no drama, nothing bad, like I'm not getting a divorce, like my kids don't have some girl pregnant, like I'm not falling off the deep end, none of that stuff, just some tough times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, we all have one, and in my house, really, and so, like, for me to share this with you is really a big deal today, because at my house, you are not allowed to talk about when you're in a bad mood, because we don't get, I just tell my kids and my wife, like, shut up, Will, I heard that whistle. Like, don't give power to negativity. Don't give power to a bad day. Overcome, renew your mind, and just stay. I'm going to make this. Everything is okay. And so for me to share this with you today, I'm just telling you that even your pastor has struggled sometimes. All of us face life. And I'll tell you, I came in here this morning, 8 o'clock service. I was not in the best of moods. I was a little grumpy. I was a little grouchy. But David Hager, and then there was Stephen Cunningham, and the music started playing. And just in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and in the presence of the Lord is peace that passes all understanding. And that, my brothers and sisters, is why we harp on you and why we preach to you about showing up to church on Sunday morning, because we need each other. And when we gather in the name of the Lord, God always changes our life. He always does. He always does. So, yeah, that was extra. You know what I mean? Just there you go. That's good for you today. So, good morning. Welcome to Bethel. And so, I'm going to tell you today is Palm Sunday. We're going to read the scripture where Jesus comes riding into town, where they throw the palm branches down. It's 1 week before the resurrection. It's 1 week before the greatest Sunday in the history of the world. And so as we start in today, I'll tell you that this story, the Palm Sunday, it changed my life forever. Well, it really, really did. When I read this for the first time, it changed my life forever. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm a little bit like Willie Nelson. My heroes have always been cowboys. I'm just telling you, it is my heroes have always been cowboys. Growing up, I grew up in a cowboy's home. I grew up idolizing cowboys. I grew up, my granddad was a cowboy. He was the greatest influence on my life. He was my best friend. He bailed me out. He was a cowboy. He wore a pointed hat, man, pointed toe boots, button fly, straight leg Levi's. He was a cowboy. He looked sharp, man, and my heroes have always been cowboys. And I look up to guys like Bigham Bradley, like Sheep Morrow, like Bobby Thompson. He could drag calves better than anybody I've ever seen in my life. Matlock Rose could train a horse better than anybody. George Humphreys, I grew up, my heroes have always been cowboys. Something about that cowboy way, that mystique, rough and tough and tumble and live a life of ruggedness. They could handle the elements, just something about it. Last night, Jennifer and I went to on a date to the Black Cur last night. We don't get to go on dates very much, but we went to the Black Cur in Coleman, Texas, and they were projecting up on the wall of the restaurant some old black and white videos of cowboys in their little short brim hats and their khaki breeches, and they were riding these Spanish ponies about that tall with a head about that long. And everybody in that place down there were some city folk that didn't know how to catch a horse, saddle a horse, or know anything about a horse, but everybody in that restaurant was caught by that. They were just looking at that. There's a mystique about the cowboys. And when I was a kid growing up, we used to watch TV and we watched the movies all the time. And how many know back then on the big screen, come on, we had John Wayne. Can I get a witness, y'all? He was rough and tumble, and you know what I mean? And there was Gene Autry, and there was Ben Johnson, and there was Matt Dillon, and there was Festus, and there was Miss Kitty, and those kinds of things. And those people weren't perfect. They were rough around the edges, but they stood for good. They wore the white hat. They stood for what was right. They honored women, and they honored children, and they honored the Word of God. They honored God. They respected God. There was a different breed of people back then than there are nowadays, and I'll just go ahead and say to you today, I believe America would be better if we went back to looking up to the American cowboy and trying to pattern our lives after them than the example we're trying to follow nowadays. And can I actually say that I really believe that America right now, they're looking to someone they can trust. They're looking to someone that is steady, that is a constant, that is they're looking for something authentic and transparent. They're looking for something, and I really believe this, and I'm going to say it. There is a resurgence right now in America of making the American cowboy a hero once again. I mean, Cole, I'm just going to brag on Cole. Cole works for the Wagner Ranch. Cole started a Bible study up there. They started this Bible study, him along with Clint Sissom. And we went up, Connor and I went up there. Nathan went with us and some of our other guys went. There were 75 people on the Wagner Ranch, 75 men gathered to celebrate the Word of God. I'm telling you, God is doing something. Rural America is catching on fire, I believe. Go to the college campuses nowadays. Come on, somebody. They got boots and jeans on and a hat at the college campuses nowadays. They're tired of the fake, phony, latte-drinking, avocado toast, skinny jean-wearing folk. They're ready for something that's real and strong and authentic. My heroes have always been cowboys. They had a grit that we don't have nowadays. They were raw. America is greatly influenced. I love that. There was respect. There was justice. There was character. There was integrity. And so today I want to tell you about a couple of scriptures that changed my life. I'm serious. Like, I'm for real, for real, for real. In 1999 is when my life was changed. My life changed forever. I knew about church. I grew up going to church. We played the religious game. We did our deal. We sat in our pew. We sang the three hymns. I knew. I walked the aisle. I got baptized. I did all the stuff, but it wasn't real to me. I didn't understand Jesus. I didn't know who he was. I didn't like church. Church sucked. Church was boring. Church was a bunch of people putting on a show. Church was a bunch of people that acted differently on Saturday than they did on Sunday. Church just sucked. Can I hear a good amen? And I'll be honest with you, man, I didn't like Jesus. I didn't like church because church was full of women. And the men were silent and the men were quiet and I thought the men were all weak. I'm just telling you what I saw, what I thought, the church I grew up in. And I didn't like Jesus. Sorry for you religious people. Hear me out on this, okay, please. The only image I had in my mind of Jesus was the picture I saw of him in the Bible bookstore. And he was a weak, frail, pasty little guy that had long hair with feathers cut in it and blonde streaks rolling through it, and he had a little lamb around his neck, and he was weak and soft and emasculated. That was the pictures that I saw of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you today about this scripture. When I read this scripture, I began to realize that my Jesus was not weak, and my Jesus was not effeminate, that my Jesus was a man's man, and Jesus was strong, and he had conviction, and he was tough, and he rode a bronc donkey. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, my life was changed forever. And just for the record, when Jesus comes back, I really believe the first thing he's going to do is go to all the Bible bookstores and burn every Kincaid painting of himself that there ever was. We lived in Guthrie, Texas. 4-6 Ranch is where I grew up idolizing cowboys. I grew up idolizing sheep and Bobby and all them guys and Bigum that worked there and Royce. All those guys that lived, that's where I wanted to live. And let me just say right quick, just for everybody that you need to know, Yellowstone is not a good representation of the 4-6 Ranch. It's not a good representation of the lifestyle. It's not a good representation of the character and the integrity. It is Hollywood. It is not real. And it is bringing damage to what the 4-6 and the ranch life really look for. Yeah, just telling you, it is what it is. I grew up there, and I mean, I didn't grow up there. We were there, and Jennifer and I had went to church on Sunday morning. We drove 53 miles to Roaring Springs to church. I had this Bible right here. It's the only Bible I had. It's a King James Bible. Hither, thither, and thou, glory to God. It's a Dakes annotated reference Bible. This is where my faith got strong. This is where my faith grew. This Bible has been rebound 6 times because I wore it out. It is marked up, wore up. My life was changed by reading the Word of God. Jennifer and I went to church on that Sunday morning, and I came home that night to the 460s. Man, I always wanted to do right. I always wanted to live for the glory of God. And I walked back to the back room of our house, and I laid my hand on that Bible, and as authentic as I could, I said, Lord, I want this to be real. Lord, I'm tired of playing some games, Lord. I've tried to read this Bible my whole life. I need you, Lord. I want this Bible to become real. And in that authentic prayer, I'm telling you, God heard my prayer, and I opened up that Bible that night. How many of you have ever done this? Lord, I need you. Take me where I need to go. And I'm telling you, that night, it fell open to Luke chapter 19. Fell open to Luke chapter 19, to the scripture that I'm going to read you today, the triumphal entry. And that night, my life was absolutely changed forever. The story that I'm going to read to you today, it's Old Testament prophecy that had come to pass in the life of Jesus. And I'll just step back and read the scripture and let it speak to you and to me today. Luke chapter 19, verse 28 through 40. And he, being Jesus, had said all these things, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem his final week. He's going up to Jerusalem to be crucified. He's going up to Jerusalem to lay his life down for you and I. He went on ahead going up to Jerusalem, and when he got close to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount that was called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, and he said, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away found just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said, hey, what are you doing getting my colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus thereon. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. They were saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees, the religious folk in the crowd, said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. They can't be getting loud like that. Tell them to calm down. Tell them to not be so loud. And Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. I love this story. This story changed my life, because that night, as I read that story, Jesus became personal to me. He became real to me. I didn't think that I could relate to Jesus, and I didn't think that Jesus could relate to me. But in this story, Jesus sent, that would make that donkey a bronc donkey. Come on, somebody. Nobody had ridden it before, because that's my Jesus, man. My Jesus can get a hold, and he can ride a bronc donkey we're about to see, and he didn't always want a gentle old nag that walked along and life was easy. He said, go get me that bronc donkey, and I'll ride him for the glory of my Father. He sent two guys to go get the bronc donkey that had never been ridden, and the bronc donkey comes over there. You know what I love about that? It doesn't say Jesus got on. It says they sat Jesus there on. Which in my cowboy mind at that time went to this right here. This bronc donkey comes up. How many of you know Jesus never used his power to help himself while he was on the earth? He could have just stepped off the cross and never had to go through it. But he was human, and he wanted, got an ear in his mouth, and they eared that donkey down, and they throwed some clothes on him, and then they sat Jesus there on. And you know what I think happened after that? This night, I'm telling you, changed my life forever. You know what I think happened after that? They turned that sucker loose, and Jesus had a mane hold, and he threw his hand up. And I think that bronc donkey bucked that day. That's why everybody was cheering, because Jesus made a bronc ride that day. In my mind, and you go, Cody, that's silly. Cody, that's stupid. Well, I'm telling you, it may be stupid to you, but it wasn't stupid to me, because it made Jesus real, and it made him personal, and it made him be able to be relevant in my life. It changed my life when I was reading the Word of God that night. Jesus. And then all of a sudden they start throwing palm leaves down for Jesus to ride on. Much like when someone gets married and they have the flower girl that goes before them throwing down the petals, saying this bride is not worthy to walk on the ground, but we're laying down rose petals, that this moment they recognize Jesus as their king, and they're saying, you can't even ride on regular ground. Let's throw down palm leaves for you to ride on. They recognized Jesus at this moment. I want to take a time out right here. How is it? What caused them to recognize Jesus at this moment? Jesus had a 3-year ministry on this earth. For 3 years, these people followed him. They saw him walk on water. They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. They saw him feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now it's 1 week before at that moment. I'll tell you what caused them to recognize him at that moment. Because his followers were devout Jews. And I'm going to tell you about the Jews. The Jews read the Word of God. The Jews valued what the Word of God said. They read that Word of God. They studied that Word of God. That's how it was in their education system. It's what they learned to read on. They knew the Word of God. And Zechariah 9:9 says this. Old Testament prophecy says, rejoice, O greatly, you daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's coming in righteousness, and he has salvation. He's coming to you humble on a donkey, riding the colt of a donkey. They knew the Old Testament prophecy that the king was coming someday, and they knew that the king would look like the other kings of the world. He would come humble, and he would come riding a bronc donkey. They were able to realize and recognize who Jesus was in that moment because they knew the Word of God. I wonder, what are you and I missing out on because we don't spend time in the Word of God and we don't know the Word of God? Is something unfolding in our life? Is God revealing things to us right now, but we're missing it and we're not seeing it because we're not spending time knowing and learning and memorizing the Word of God? Yeah, I'm glad you come to church. But listen, if the only word you're getting is on Sunday, at this moment, they recognized Jesus and they started shouting with a loud voice, yes, blessed be the king. Zechariah, you said the king was coming. This is him. Glory to God. Woo! They were fired up about Jesus. Can I interject something right there? Notice the fickleness of people. Can I tell you something? People are fickle, downright fickle, downright fickle. They will love you 1 minute and hate you the next minute. They will sing your praises 1 minute and the next minute they will turn their backs on you. You don't do what they want. You don't act like they want. You don't give them enough attention. You don't preach what they want to preach, and they'll turn their backs on you. Can I prove it to you? It's been happening for years. At this moment, the whole multitude, remember the Word of God? The whole multitude is praising God. 1 week later, Jesus is at the cross, and nobody is following him. When it got tough, and when it got to the nitty-gritty, and when it got to the nut-cutting, and when it got to the place that it wasn't popular, all these people that were shouting and praising and showing up to church and throwing palm leaves down, they ran off and they left Jesus alone with his mother and a couple of disciples. Listen to me, don't be fickle. Our world is full of enough fickle people. Come on, somebody. Make up your mind, I have decided to follow Jesus. I better move on. Come on, somebody. They got a little rowdy, and the religious folks said, stop, be quiet. You can't act that way. You can't be that loud. I'm going to tell you, that did something for me when I saw them getting rowdy, and Jesus said, it's okay to get rowdy. Because I've always been a little rowdy, I'm just saying. But when I went to church, I had to be different. Glory to God, praise God, hallelujah. My old granddaddy, bless his heart, he used to come to church over here after I started preaching, and he hated it here. And the only reason he came is because it was me. But he'd say, I'll tell you what, Pard. If we'd have acted like y'all act in church when I was growing up, my mother would have got me by the ear and took me out of that church and blistered my butt. I mean, just why? You know what I mean? But just to find out that Jesus is like, it's okay if you want to be a little rowdy for the Lord. It's okay if you want to get a little loud. It's okay if you want to get excited. That just opened up something inside of me. That night, Jesus became real to me. It's just real relevant. It changed my life. It changed something inside of me. It ministered to me. I understood Jesus as personal Savior. And I thought for the first time in my life, Jesus ain't no sissy boy. Jesus is a cowboy. Come on, y'all. That's what I thought. And then I was so hungry for the word of God. I was hungry for more. I wasn't willing to quit there. And so I give her this one more time. Show me some more, Lord. And you know where the Lord took me? Revelation chapter 19. I highlighted it that night in 1999. Revelation 19. And formerly, I was scared to death of the book of Revelation. Can I get a witness? I didn't understand it. It weirded me out. But that night, I began to read. And here's what I saw. Let me just share it with you. Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Then I saw heaven opened up. The book of Revelation is when God opened up heaven to allow John the Revelator to see what it was like in heaven so that John the Revelator could write it down in Scripture and you and I today, some 2,000 years later, could see what heaven was like. Here's what heaven's like, y'all. Then I saw heaven opened up and behold, a white horse. Come on, somebody. I never was a fan of them cold-blooded Palomino son of a bucks, but I'm going to ride me a white horse when I get to heaven, y'all. Then I saw heaven opened up, and behold, a white horse. And one sitting on it was called Faithful and True. Notice that faithful and true are capitalized right there. Because no matter how faithful you think you are, and no matter how true I think I am, there is only one that is completely faithful. And there is only one that is true. And his name is Jesus. And when heaven was opened up, Jesus was sitting on a white horse. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And all the armies in heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him, riding white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of the Almighty God, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John saw heaven and Jesus riding the white horse. I hear people say, well, Jesus is a biker. You know what I mean? He rides back. I say, no. I can prove it in Scripture. He rides a horse, y'all. And you know what the Bible said? All the armies in heaven are following Jesus riding white horses. How many of you know Jesus is coming back someday? And I believe Jesus knows and understands, and that's why there's a resurgence in the cowboy world, because us cowboys are going to have to show them city folk how to saddle their horse when they get to heaven. Can I get a witness? Jesus. And so here's what happened. Jesus is coming back, y'all. And he's not coming back the lamb that was slain, and he's not coming back weak. He's coming back in righteousness, and he's coming back in truth, and he's coming back to judge and to make war. Now, whether we like it or not, or whether we want to admit it or not, there is good and there is evil, and Jesus is coming back, and he's going to be the one that's going to judge the world, and you better be washed in the blood of the lamb. He's going to separate the goats from the sheep, and the sheep are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the sheep will get to go to heaven, and the goats are going to have to go to hell. It's the word of God. It's the truth. It's the way it is. And Jesus is coming back someday. And here's the way I think it's going to play out. I think someday when the Father has seen enough, I think someday when the final person that has never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, when the final person gets to have the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, God the Father is going to turn to Jesus and say, it's time. Let's go get my people. Go bring my people home to be in heaven forever. And I think Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And if you own that many cattle, you got to have the biggest remuda of horses you've ever seen to take care of all them cattle. And I believe God the Father is going to turn to Jesus and say, let's go get my people. And I think Jesus is going to go to the barn. Yeah, there's going to be a barn in heaven, y'all. I think he's going to go to the barn and some young button is going to go jingle the horses. And Jesus is going to say, go out across the horse pastures of heaven and jingle the horses. And this young button is going to go out and he's going to jingle the biggest remuda of white horses you've ever seen. And when that last one finally comes into the corral and the gate is shut, I think Jesus is going to step out of the saddle house with a long catch rope and he's going to start throwing them hula hands and he's going to start catching them horses and he's going to catch sheep's horse and he's going to catch Bigham's horse, and he's going to catch Bobby Thompson's horse, and he's going to catch my granddaddy's horse. And after everybody's horse has been caught, I believe there'll be one final white horse standing in the corner of the corral with a bow in his neck and rollers in his nose, steam coming out. Jesus is going to fire that one final hula hand in his mouth. And then I think Jesus is going to throw that Bob Marr saddle and gird him up tight. And you know what he's going to do next? untrack him a few steps. And then he'll get him another hole, and then Jesus will get a handful of mane and stick his foot heel deep in that stirrup and throw his long white Galilean leg over that horse, and he's going to turn to the armies in heaven and say something like this: grease your bridle reins and sharpen your spur rails, boys, because we're going on a ride like we ain't never been on before. And if you know the scripture, you know that Jesus knew how to use a bullwhip. I think Jesus is going to take that bullwhip down, and he's going to whop, pow, and when he does, the eastern sky is going to split, the archangel is going to shout, and Jesus and all the armies in heaven are coming back to receive us unto his own, and we'll be caught up with the Lord forever in the air. I'm going to tell you, that night changed my life forever. That night changed my life forever. I've been serving the Lord since 1999, since that night. Can I just tell y'all something? There's been times life sucked. There's been times I wanted to throw in the towel. There's been times there was no outside motivation. There was nobody patting me along, and I wasn't the greatest, and church wasn't full, and things weren't good. There's been times, and I'm going to tell you something, many, many times over the last 25 years, the Lord took me back to that back room. The Lord took me back to that place and took me back to that scripture, and it sparked something in me, and it reminded me that Jesus, over the last 25 years, I've went back to that moment many, many times. And it's encouraged me and kept me going. And I just want to tell you something. If you're going to be all, are y'all ready for this? Can I hear a good amen? Look at me. Look. That's my story. What's your story? Because you can't live off my story. And you can't live off the encounter I had with God. You know what you got to do? You got to have a real, true, authentic encounter with Jesus Christ yourself. And when you do, it will change you forever. Not from Bible study to Bible study, not from small group to small group, not from church to church. No, it's when you have a real authentic encounter with a real risen Savior that is personal and touches you where you are, it will change you forever. You got to have that moment. And until you do, you'll never reach your full potential. Three things, and I'll be done. I believe the reason that that day became so significant and the reason that it happened to me that day is because I was hungry for God. I was hungry. I had a desire. I was hurting. I was righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let me ask you, how hungry are you for a move of God? How hungry are you? I can't be hungry for you. Your spouse can't be hungry for you. How hungry are you? And when you get hungry, you will do what you have to do to fill your belly. And my prayer is that you will be hungry today for spiritual nourishment, and you wouldn't stop until you receive the bread of life and it nourished you. That day happened for me because I was hungry. That day happened for me because that Sunday morning, that was a Sunday night. Can I tell you what happened on that Sunday morning? We were at church in Roaring Springs, Texas. You know what I did that morning? The preacher preached about the power of the Holy Spirit. I was a Baptist boy, y'all. I didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. But he preached about the Holy Spirit and about how it was our guide and about how it would illuminate and how it would teach us. And I'm telling you, I can tell you where Jennifer and I were sitting, and for the first time in my life since I got saved, I got up and I went to the front that day and I said to Ricky Lawrence, that pastor, I need that Holy Spirit. I'm in a tough place. I don't understand. I can't see clearly. And Ricky said this to me: ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. And I'm telling you, that day, call it what you want to call it, baptism, infield, I embraced the Holy Spirit. Lightning bolts didn't shoot out of my butt, and I didn't have fire all over the place. But I'm telling you, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that night, the Word of God came alive to me. And if the Word of God's going to come alive to you, you've got to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because only, I ain't got time for all that. I was hungry for the Word of God. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I actually read the Word of God. Can I tell you, if you want to be all you can be, you got to read the Word of God. No more excuses. I don't want to hear it. No more excuses. No more excuses. I don't understand. I can't understand. Yeah, you can if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will teach and guide you in all things. Read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. This King James, y'all, I cheated all the way through high school. It's a wonder I even graduated. I can't read the best. I got a little bit of dyslexia. But when I read King James that night, because of the Holy Spirit, it came alive to me. You got to read. You got to spend time in the Word of God. And so, Conrad, y'all come help me close. I'm past the 30-minute mark. Glory to God. That night, I made up my mind. Remember Jesus said, if these people don't praise me and get a little rowdy, even the rocks are going to cry out. You know what I made up my mind that night? I may be dumb as a box of rocks, but there ain't no rock going to praise God for me. That night it became real, and I was rowdy ever since. And some people hate me for it today. Some people are like the religious folk. Cody, that's just too loud, and that music over there at that Bethel Assembly, and what stuff you do. You know, I don't care about anybody else anymore. I care about Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you all I got for him. My life changed forever that night. You realize that you can't do it in your own spirit, but you have to do it in the spirit of the living God. And if he's inside of you, things begin to change. My prayer is that you'll take time to read the Word of God. And my prayer is this, that you will live, listen to me, look, that you will live from this moment on, you will live unapologetically with passion for the glory of God. Unapologetically, with passion. Not going to be a mealy mouth. Not going to be a set quietly. Not going to be criticizing everybody else. Not going to be a church member. I know what Jesus has done for me. He changed my life. He picked me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He is my personal Savior. He met me right where I was on that ranch, and he revealed to me he could ride a broke donkey, and he could ride a white horse. He revealed to me that he'd never leave me and never forsake me, and you can like me or love me, but from that moment on, I have lived unapologetically, and I've lived passionately, and I've given God everything I've got, and you should do the same thing as well. But you got to find that moment. You got to have that moment. God, I could preach to y'all all day. All you need, I'm done after this, I promise. All you need is one moment. One moment. We live in a world where we want to be stimulated all the time, where we want to be motivated all the time. And we go from walk, to Bible study, to walk to Emmaus, to this church, to that church service. If you, vilest of sinners, riding a white horse down the Damascus Road, and God knocked him on his butt that day, and he had an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ. Immediately, he got up, and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was a world changer. And many times, read the book of Acts, many times throughout the rest of his life, when he was facing persecution, and when he was facing struggle, he would say this, let me tell you what happened to me on the Damascus Road. I was riding my white horse down the road, and I ran smack down into a living Savior, and he changed my life forever. And that's all he needed was one real, authentic moment with a real God. And that's all you need. And for some of you who've never had that, I pray you have that today. I pray this week you read the Word of God. I pray the Holy Spirit illuminates it, and I pray. And for some of you, I pray God would take you back to that time and remind you today what that was like. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move and speak and change and energize and revive. And just do what you do today. Blessings, we just need you. Just you, Jesus. So speak to us in the closing moments of this service. Let us have that sacred moment right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come